Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy has made his own bed, and now his goose is cooked, and I'm mixing up my metaphors, but the point is, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, yeah. You have nobody to blame but yourself. I was going to say, at least we didn't talk about the churches that are dropping Easter eggs from helicopters, you know, to attract the community, because that to me is exceedingly agitating. And you mentioned, what about your past, Jimmy?
Well, you know, I used to have to do radio commercials for these Easter egg things.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Put on by churches, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so limited in so many ways. I'm just struggling to imagine what that would sound like. Could you give it a go to help me out, brother?
Man, I have had some nightmares about these things.
Come on.
Oh, come on. You better hop on over, folks.
Oh, no.
It's time for this eggs.
No.
The egg sighting.
Oh, no, you're yoking, aren't you?
Event of the spring. Yeah, that's right.
Now, you couldn't talk about the egg whites because that would probably be racist.
That's right. But
if it weren't, that would have been included in the puns, too.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're too chicken to do that.
Bring your...
Janie, bring the whole family. Now
bring all your peeps.
No. No.
I've said that before. I have, unfortunately.
Oh, no, and how many car accidents ensued? Breaking news. Everybody in Halls County. Is it Halls County?
No. Halls is the name of the city next to us.
Okay. Yeah. What's the name of the county where
Tipton
you were?
Tipton County.
Tipton County.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got hammered by the storm.
Yeah, they did.
And they're not done.
No.
It's just nasty business there right now.
A lot of flooding.
A lot of rain. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine sent video. The hail is going horizontally.
Mm.
The winds are hail. When the winds are blowing and there's hail, get to the basement about as fast as you can. So to all of those folks in that region, first of all, sorry about the rough weather. And second, sorry about Jimmy's Easter egg announcements. How many years did you have to put up with that?
20.
Here's the justification. We're going to bring the kids. It's an opportunity, said one church, to throw a party for our community. Okay. Church, I understand you want to do something nice for the community. Okay. But that's not the church's role and job and function. Your job is to be the place where the saints assemble, get equipped, go out and evangelize. If you want to have some sort of an event to be nice to the community so that they will come and hear the truth, then to that I say, amen. You do that. I'm not going to make a law where there is no law. And if you want to do that and expend a lot of energy, time, and resources, as long as you're preaching the gospel, okay. But Easter egg drops from a helicopter, that distorts the gospel. It just makes a mess of what Easter is all about. It's an opportunity to throw a party and build connections. You can build connections by being in the community, evangelizing people. Please start engaging people. If you struggle, here's one for you. This will help you to become more evangelistic. Start being nice. I mean, really genuinely interested in the people who serve you food in restaurants. Just go ahead. Start doing that. And you just might be shocked at the conversation you can even have at the table with that person. And then if you want to, you could even invite them to your church. That's not evangelism, but there's nothing wrong with inviting people to your church. I'm telling you, these people... they are willing to talk about such things. I mean, even if it's under the duress, the fear of not getting a tip because they've been rude and shut you down. I'm telling you, they have struggles too. And they, just like the university students, are open to hearing from adults who have something to say and show interest in them. This is just seeker sensitivity that's an absolute dog's breakfast. It includes, by the way, games, music, assorted prizes, bounce houses, and food trucks. Nothing says Easter
like a food truck.
Quite like that.
You are so rigid.
I'm sorry, but that's just not what you're...
Yeah, I know.
We're silly.
Yeah.
We treat our religion like we can just Gumby it and just, hey, we're just going to make it look fun to people. Christianity isn't about fun. I don't know if these churches never got that memo. It's not about fun. It's about salvation. Okay. Was going to share with you a potential critique. There's a new Christian movie coming out, and all of the signs point toward it's missing them. It's an animated cartoon about Jesus through the eyes of Charles Dickens. And I thought, okay, in fairness, I'm going to see more of the movie. I want to read Charles Dickens' treatise to his children about Jesus. An enigmatic character. We don't know for sure where Charles Dickens was. He was a critic of religion. Did he, however, maintain some semblance of a Christian confession? It appears so, and he wanted his kids to know about Jesus. So he wrote them a private story about Jesus, and he didn't want it published, at least in his lifetime. Well, of course, we've got that manuscript now, and somebody used it to turn it into a Jesus movie. Okay, so what is the gospel according to Charles Dickens? Because that's what the movie purports to present, the gospel. Let's hear it. Let's see what you got. And I'll tell you, I'm going to research it. I'm going to read the Charles Dickens manuscript because I'm skeptical, not for the least reason that Angel Studios, which is owned by the Mormons, are the producers of the movie. And a true gospel presentation would be offensive to Mormons. Should be. Not the same Jesus. Not the same salvation. Not grace alone. They should be. So I'm skeptical, but I'm going to do the research. And my suspicion is, like virtually everything that evangelicalism cranks out these days, it misses the gospel. It simply doesn't understand the gospel. That it's not about Easter egg drops. It's not about fun. It's not about whoop-de-doo, everything seems better. It's not even about stabilizing my emotions, although that is a fruit of the gospel. It is a judicial story. The gospel is about the wrath of God being satisfied in the work of his son. And it's judicial. It's not about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and bouncy houses games. It's about having your sins forgiven. Otherwise, he's going to cut you down. The dreadful day of the Lord, we just do not think about this as much as we should. That when Jesus returns, the world is going to mourn. Mourn. Now, there's going to be a whole lot of fear. They're going to beg the mountains to fall on them, but they're also going to mourn. In other words, I've totally blown it. I've sealed my fate. I am going to hell and there is no escape. It's like the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. You're there for good. And you will mourn and gnash your teeth the rest of your days. Jimmy!
Yes.
Would you remind peeps, bring your peeps.
Bring your peeps and let's celebrate Easter.
Oh, they did not.
Yes, they did. I just pulled up the old script.
Oh, give it to me. Give me the whole deal. Come on. You can do it.
We're dropping thousands of candy-filled eggs and your family is invited for a hopping good time. Games, prizes, bounce houses, face painting, and more. Join us at Blank Church on whatever date. And hey, while the kids hunt eggs, we'll remind you of the greatest news of all.
Oh, sure.
The tomb is empty.
Okay.
And that was it. It was a tack on. That was okay. It.
Maybe they got to it. But still, how confusing is it? What do Easter eggs have to do with Easter? And the answer is nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. In fact, you could really argue pretty strongly it is a pagan residue. Nothing to do with the Easter story. I mean, except for the fact that we should be excited. Oh, boy. Ba-bing, ba-boom. But we didn't talk about that story because that would just be too agitating. Church, don't forget the gospel. Pastor, when you're preaching, don't forget the gospel. When you share the gospel, don't forget the gospel. And could we please, please have a higher view of what Jesus accomplished for us and not be so pathetic that we think that we have to gussy it up with a helicopter egg drop and bouncy houses? Really? It's how's about going rather than bringing in to make, you know, today the kids will be playing and we're going to share the gospel with you, hopefully. How's about going and sharing it? It doesn't need gussying up. You don't need bells and whistles. And if you happen to think that the gospel is not compelling enough for people to give it a hearing, if you're a pastor who feels that way, I got to tell you, there's a lot of jobs available in technology and marketing that you could find. We should have every confidence that what Jesus did for us on Easter Sunday is the greatest story ever told. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bickney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live, is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
He has no one to blame but himself. This is Wretched Radio. You're the one who brought it up during the break. You didn't read all the lines from that commercial promoting an Easter egg drop at a church when you were on country radio in Tennessee.
Yeah. And can I preface this? I was not saved at the time. So
so you weren't sinning.
That's right.
I see. I got it. Okay. So you were a pagan disc jockey.
That's right.
And you were reading about the church promoting with all the chicky puns.
That's right.
All right. And that you kept out a couple of lines.
Yeah. So this one was the one that ended the whole promo. The Easter extravaganza. Fun, faith, and a whole lot of eggs.
Yeah. Faith couldn't even make it into first position. No. And where's Jesus in that, by the way? My spiritual gift is nitpicking, so let me just exercise it. Faith, isn't Easter about Jesus? That's what Easter is about. Come celebrate everlasting life that has been purchased for you in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't need peeps. I don't need Reese's Easter egg thing. By the way, can I just, if you happen to work for the Reese's organization, which is probably like Hershey, who owns Reese's peanut butter cups?
I believe it's Hershey.
Okay. So is it Hershey?
I think so.
Okay. We're at the Walmart and we fell for it. You know, they got all the candy right before you get to the registers. And the kids were coming over. So we thought, well, let's just get some junk food, basically. And there was a 12 pack of Reese's peanut butter cups. It weighed about 3 ounces. Their 12 peanut butter cups should weigh more than that. I'm telling you. And the price, by the way, didn't go down. And also, Reese's, could you just stick with the peanut butter cups? That's why we love you. We don't need all of the variable options. We don't need dark chocolate. I don't need caramel inside of there. I don't need sea salt. Just make the peanut butter cups and stick with it. I'll bet they had Reese's Easter eggs at your little...
Oh, I'm sure they did.
At your little Western Tennessee Easter egg drop. All right, what was the other line you left out?
This one's really going to make you want to go home. Games, prizes, bounce houses, face painting, and more. It's exactly what your Easter weekend needs.
The bad pun aside, no, it's not. Mm. No, it's not. I'm not even sure I can concoct. Maybe I just need to sit in a room for a few minutes all by myself and come up with something, but I just can't think of anything that compares to how ludicrous that is. This is the greatest event in human history, and what it needs is a bounce house and face painting. Really, that's what it needs. No, I need what Jesus accomplished on Easter, and that is enough. Honestly, it's a commercial for the Olympics, and they never talk about athletic competition. Instead, they say things like, hey, come to this event. We're going to have science experiments and we're going to have fireworks. It's exactly what you need. You'd go, why aren't you talking about what the event is about? It might indicate they don't think the event itself is all that interesting, or maybe is even a little bit embarrassing. Maybe it's just a little bit, well, you know, I mean, after all, we are moderns. We are science-based people. Come on, church, boldly proclaim it. And I think ultimately the problem with the whole extravaganza business is that it is just another fruit of the seeker-sensitive movement using the church to get people to come and visit. And that is just not what the church is supposed to be doing. It's not what you can invite people to church, but church is not supposed to be the evangelistic arm. The Sunday service or a manufactured event like an Easter egg drop, that's not the business of the church. The business of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to minister to those people who are in Christ. That means the Sunday service is not aimed at unbelievers. It is done for Christians who then love the Lord Jesus Christ more and make disciples. That's why this just gets up my nose. And this church that you were talking about in Tennessee, they claim that they're going to get the gospel story, or what did they say? They didn't even say the gospel story.
No, let me find it.
Just the contemporary language.
Oh yeah. And hey kids, while the kids hunt eggs, we'll remind you of the greatest news of all.
The greatest. Okay. Okay. It's not wrong. But was Jesus even mentioned?
No.
That this is a celebration, that the second person of the Trinity came to this earth in human flesh to represent us, to live a perfect life of righteousness that he credits to our account. Where did we lose the plot? And most churches, I'm telling you, on Sunday morning for Easter Sunday, most of them will not be able to find the gospel if their eternities depended on it, and they do. And the fruit of that is absolutely atrocious. It's not just the false convert rate. It's the feeding of the saints. We need to hear the gospel presented accurately, regularly, because that is the food that sustains and nourishes it. And I George Barna, if you're listening, why don't you go survey every church and just ask them, would you please in one sentence write the gospel that you presented on Easter Sunday? And I'll bet the majority of them have nothing to do with Jesus Christ dying for sinners. Want to bet? And the fruit of it is a lot of starving Christians, a lot of Christians. I think it contributes to the reason that there's a lot of Christians. I don't think this is a new epidemic, but there are a lot of Christians who are lacking assurance these days. I've got a couple of these emails right here. These break my heart. Listen to this is an email from a fellow. We'll leave his name out of it. I am struggling with my faith right now and am plagued with constant doubt about my faith, mainly about the idea of my sincerity. I ask to be saved all the time and I feel like nothing I do is enough. Will God reject someone if they want to be saved but lack what is required? This fellow is living in a very scary world. By the way, to this man who wrote in, do you notice how many personal pronouns you used? I, my, am I, my, I. How many are we up to? I, oof. That's an indicator your focus is aimed in the wrong direction. You're putting your trust in faith. Don't do that. You go, wait a second. I thought we're saved by grace through faith. Exactly. We are saved by grace. Whose grace? The grace of Jesus Christ through faith. That's the mechanism. Okay, that's Jesus is the one who saves. So now we need to go to the source and ask, so what kind of faith is required? And according to Jesus himself, a mustard seed size faith. And note this, even for those Christians who like, I think the gift of faith is actually somebody, they just never waver. They just never waffle. It's all certain. It's all clear. I have absolutely no doubts. I think that person has the gift of faith. But even that person's faith is mustard seed size too. Because none of us have the big faith that we should have. Now, that doesn't mean we don't desire it. It doesn't mean we're not growing in that direction. But it does mean that none of us has enough faith. But we've got enough faith, according to Jesus, for him to save us. And you need to rest in that. You need to trust that. It's been my experience. This fellow, I think, captures a lot of hearts. But when I pray, it's not as sincere as it should be. Or when I pray, I get distracted. Or I wonder if I'm praying, if I'm repenting for the right motives and the right reasons. Now, look, all of those things are important to consider. But if you're focusing solely on your performance in your relationship with Jesus, you're in big trouble every single time. Because you are going to do nothing but find sufficient ground for canceling you from the kingdom. Because you don't. Simul justus et peccator is a Latin phrase the reformers used that I think might help you if you're lacking assurance in this regard. You don't think that you do enough, or you sin. I've sinned. I'm no longer a member of the kingdom. Well, no, the type of sin that John says disqualifies you is ongoing unrepentant sin. That just, I don't care. It doesn't bother me, but you do care, which, by the way, is an awesome sign that you actually are saved, but you still sin, simultaneously justified yet sinning. That's you. That's the Christian life. And I'm not trying to lead you to licentiousness. This is not antinomian. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but I am saying we need to do what Jesus offers. Come unto him with your puny faith, and he will give you rest. And you need to rest in his promises and trust them. If the judge said to you, your case is dismissed, would you sit in the court? I don't know, judge. I don't know if I really believe you or not. I'm not sure that that would be silly. Trust the judge. Trust your God who says, if you come unto him with a puny, wobbly-kneed faith, a bruised reed Christian, you are his. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.